The Two Fit Crazies and a Microphone podcast is brought to you by Fit Fix Now, one of the leading online, affordable, accredited, and convenient continuing education platforms for busy fitness professionals. www.fitfixnow.com. Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at. Welcome to 2025 Two Fit Crazies. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Christine.
Another year. We're going to hit nine.
That's right.
This year. Nine.
Year nine, you know, of podcasting?
Yeah.
Like, you know? That's OG. Year. Let me check the bank account, see if that lines up with what we're doing here. But yeah, pretty much. Yep, close. There we are.
Are we not changing the world?
We have at least a billion.
One day at a time. I'm sorry. Our lives have drastically changed.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Since we started. So there's that in a positive way. Do you have complaints?
I keep dropping Christine like off of faraway places like the woods and things like that. And she keeps coming back. She just keeps on coming back.
You know why?
She's like the wandering puppy.
It's like I got Reese's Pieces. I follow them home.
She's like a cat, an outside cat that people feed.
Yes,
neighborhood cats
yes,
feed. They keep coming
I am
back
a feral
home.
Cat.
Strays and ferals.
That's exactly what
I feed. Strays
I am.
And ferals.
There you go.
See? Okay, well, needless to say, we have an amazing guest. Obviously, you heard about him in our intro,
amazing.
But, well, he's pretty good. He's okay.
Pretty good.
All right. So, Tyler Valencia, welcome to
yes.
the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was a great weekend for me, and I'm just compounding that into, what are we in? Is this the second week, third week of January?
It's
all been going pretty quickly already.
Do tell, why was the weekend so good?
I had my first dip into online conferencing.
Yes.
I put on my own show this weekend, and it went smoothly. Had a lot of great build-up to it with connections. That's actually how Christine and I got together and did a podcast for my company, Kips, a few months ago. And, I mean, that sparked this podcast here, and I'm really just riding that wave right now, trying to push that wave, I guess, grow that wave even further into 2025. And so I'm jazzed about it, the conference and all that momentum that was built up for it.
Good. That's exciting. Where do you come to us from?
I live in Phoenix. Outside, I live in the burbs of Phoenix.
The burbs, like where? Talk to me. I dabbled in Arizona State for a few years.
So you know exactly where I live in Chandler, Arizona.
Ah, there you go. See, when I was there, Chandler, they were like still building it out there. They were like, here, Main Street goes here, and you know, just like building, you know, whatever the
like a game board.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Okay.
It's just a grid. So
yeah.
The grid kept going.
Oh yeah, like, so that's like my neighbor. He's like, this street right here.
Yeah.
They didn't even have this street when I moved in. I'm like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, just all farmland.
Chandler was like, I said, what are you doing way out there? And my friend was like, no, it's like, this is like, you know, just an extension of everything that keeps going on out there. So nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice for you. Beautiful time of year to be out there. And I'm envious of you for that.
You mean my very light sweater compared to your guys's big jackets on?
Today was a warm day. It was about 38, and I stood outside at track practice for about 3 hours today with the kids, getting them running. Everybody
the layers, kids.
You need to wear layers.
I have shorts on, by the way.
Brian
came in
and I said, I am not taking my jacket and my scarf off until it gets warmer again, because this is not
okay. Yeah, I just noticed that. You have a scarf on.
Oh, I'm inside.
She's
totally
in her house.
In my house.
Right. I sit at my desk in my office with a blanket over me while I do work. Top up is like business. Bottom half is like slumber party all day long. So don't make me get up.
So we could stand a trip out to the Valley of the Sun. That's for sure.
All right. Yes, we got to get into this because today this is great. This is a good one. We're going to get into Kips and everything you're doing, but so good. So I'm talking to someone today that they do my marketing, and they said, you know, Christine, give us who we're going to be promoting in the next couple weeks. And I was like, you know, I gave them a list, and I was like, you know, Kips Online. And I got an email back today that was like, Christine, like, why are we promoting them? Like, aren't they your competition? And I said, this is so good. I mean, you know, everyone knows I'm continuing education now. Like, that's the company that I acquired. And, you know, Kips, you same thing, education. And what what my response was is that you right now in the world, you can have two ways of, you know, approaching people. One is that you could think of them as your competition, or you think of them as your ally. And I said, in this industry, what's our goal? Goal is to make people healthy, to educate people, right? And whether it's you're offering like a big certification or you're just doing, you know, smaller continuing education like I am, we're on the same team here. We're all on the same team. And if we can't do that, then, you know, you're really isolating yourself. So I thought it was really funny that I really had to defend my relationship with you today in the fact that you were coming on the podcast. And then I defended it again. I was like, well, you know, I talked to him and then we're going to, you know, it's like, isn't that your competition though? Like, why would you speak to them? And I thought it was interesting because technically, you know, everyone could be your competition or they could be your ally. Mm-hmm. And I am positive that you have had similar situations that Brian, myself, and many others where people are like, yeah, no, that's a conflict of interest. So what are your thoughts about that? That's my first question to you.
It's a good one. And I think it's almost, I don't want to say it's an old way of looking at business, even though somebody that's listening to this might say, oh, he just called me old. No, I did not. I think that collaborating is a big thing to look at for business. I mean, myself, when you were originally talking about it, my brain started rolling with how YouTube, I do a lot of YouTube work. I have a YouTube workout channel, and collaboration is a big part, or not a big part, it's a piece of growing a channel where you can do different workouts, have other collaborators come on and do workouts together, and you're tapping into each other's audiences, and it's almost a way of thinking, how can I grow my audience without having to pay for it? And collaboration, I think, is very key for our industry and a new way to look at things. I remember when I first started as a personal trainer back in 2008, I was the young gun in the gym, big gym, about 35, 40 trainers. And it was very cutthroat. No, these are my clients. You don't talk to my clients and you can't look at my clients. And it was very much a cutthroat. This is how it's done. Everybody's your enemy. But as we've grown, I feel like as an industry, collaborating, it's a great way to tap into your audience, build your audience. And there's so many ways that you can do it through social media and, or email lists. And with the ability to collaborate, you have to remember that there's enough for everybody. I think that that is one of the things that we get hung up on is I want another client. Well, there's enough for everybody. This is not, you're not in a one square mile block that you are trying to grow these days worldwide. To be honest, I mean, the conference I just had, there was people that tuned in from Canada. I think there was people from the UK that also purchased a ticket for the conference. You are in a different market these days with how technology has advanced our industry. If you're doing online workouts, you're doing online coaching, whatever that might be, those elements just open up these days the ability to increase your revenue, in my opinion.
It's absolutely the truth. And you can look at it like competition or, you know, look at competition in sports, right? If the teams that we're playing are better, then we're going to be better. And, you know, and I say all the time, if we all get better, we all get better. And yeah, and the, you know, the level that you take trainers to makes our whole industry better. Same with Christine. 100%. It all gets better. There's not like there's like, you know, limits on how great we can be in all of this. And, you know, again, the end goal is to make people happier, healthier, longer living lives and, you know, fitter and you know, just in general, just better humans. And
yeah,
you know, the competition isn't you two as each other or me involved or whatever, the trainers and trainers. It's like, I say from trainer to trainer that we're not in competition. Like the competition is like McDonald's and like, yeah, you know, like well, that's what we're competing against. Couch makers, right?
People are gonna, Netflix.
Yeah. Right?
Netflix and wine.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The Fortnite. If I had to pick a, yeah, I was, what you were talking about, I was thinking, if I had to pick an enemy, it'd probably be like Facebook or it'd be big corporations that you are trying to literally take away or tap into organic pathways to grow your audience and not having to pay hundreds to thousands of dollars in marketing each month. If I did have to pick an enemy, that's who it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's like anything that's going to take that time and focus away from getting things done, which is what we try and do, is have people get things done.
All right. Yeah. We got to go into this right away. Tyler, okay, before we get into how you, you know, started this KIPPS thing, what is KIPPS in your own words and what, why?
Okay. Oh, that's a good one. Well, KIPPS is the Kinesiology Institute for Performance Specialists. If I had to say why, it's a fitness education company. We do online. We used to do some in-person workshops. Every now and then I do an in-person workshop, a personal training workshop here or there. And I used to travel in 2018, 2019. I was traveling across the country teaching workshops. But the why behind it was really I enjoy the process of content creation. When I started in the industry, on the fitness education side of it, I was fortunate enough to work for a company, Nesta, that allowed me to kind of develop these skills. I've always liked cameras, microphones, editing. I remember in high school, I took a video production class and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And so getting into fitness education, it was kind of a, ooh, I get to use some of those skills with education, with exercise science, with personal training. Yeah, okay. And getting to hone those skills more, develop them. It was kind of one of those things that, okay, I want to continue this further. And so eventually I got picked up by a different company, elevated to a different position. And then I just kind of realized that I enjoy the entrepreneurial side of business. I enjoy doing my own thing. It's not to say that I was a bad employee at any part. It was just more that I enjoy that hustle of it. I enjoy the late nights and the creative aspects of it. And that's why I started my own jam with KIPPS. And I was looking at, I had to do the math the other day, almost, we're at 8 years.
Wow.
I'm at 8 years with it. Yeah.
Very nice.
Woo! So you just talked about a conference, right? You did an online conference. You are an online business, right? So online conference, what was it? Who was involved? What was the goal? What did people get?
Yeah. Beginning to middle of last year, crazy to say, 2024 is already behind us. Mm-hmm. But
remember there was a pandemic like 4 years ago. Yeah. Remember that? We were locked
that
in
happened
our houses.
Too. Yeah. But I was sitting around and I was just kind of thinking about what is something big that I can do that can give me some good exposure, that can get me hopefully into a different tier with fitness education. And I thought I should just try it. I know people that have done their own online conferences over the years and they don't, and I'm not going to name names, but I'm to say that they don't have the skill set that I have with doing online development. Like I built the whole online experience for the students with KIPPS. And so looking and thinking about it, I was like, yeah, just do it. Just really say you're going to do it and make those steps to make it happen. And I started making a list of presenters that I wanted to approach. And they were individuals that I've met throughout the years, giving me great advice, and it was just small. That was my goal, was just do it, learn as much as you can, get some exposure. Yes, of course, you want to make money as a business, but that wasn't a high priority. The experience of it was very valuable in my eyes. I had Dr. Dan Ritchie of the Functional Aging Institute. I had Dr. Emily Splickle from Noboso. There was some newer people that I approached because I wanted to mix it up as well. I really wanted to highlight people that I thought are doing it now, and that are people that other fit pros should see, oh, you could do that? There's all these other areas. I had an individual from YouTube. Her name is Michelle Breeler. She has 240. She's going to get mad if she hears this, and she hears that I got how many subscribers. She has 240,000 subscribers, I believe, on YouTube for her channel. I mean, she is crushing it. This is her full-time job for her, making workouts for her YouTube channel. I got another fitness education YouTube channel. They're called Sorta Healthy Education. I think they have 73,000 subscribers on YouTube. And then I had an individual that's based in Australia, Jono Petrohilos. He owns a company called Fitness Education Online that he has like a 20,000K group on Facebook.
He's with building audiences. Former guest of the show.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah, oh, he's wild.
Yeah, I wanted to really bring people that I thought were crushing it now. And it was one of those things that I approached these people, and it was one of those, yeah, I'm in. I was like, wait, what? I don't have to like convince you. I don't have to like try to pitch you on anything. Okay, let me get you a contract and let's make it happen. Yeah, that was this past weekend. And I can say that it will be another thing that I will look to be doing in the future.
Very cool. Sessions did you host, or you know, and who?
It was just six. It was just six sessions. Yeah,
it's great.
Was small. I just wanted a 1 day event just to get my feet wet. I didn't want to have to try to make it overcomplicated with things, with doing it 2 days and burning myself out, because it was a long day for myself. And I'll even add for the listeners, I was so jittery, just excited. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning, just pumped.
Gosh.
Yeah. I woke up and I was like, Tyler, you need to go back to bed. And then I put my TV on just to kind of come on, fall asleep. And then I opened my phone. I use a Whoop app. I don't know if anybody else uses a Whoop app. And I look at my sleep score and it's in the green. I'm like, oh, screw it. Let's go work out. Let's just get the day started. So I got up around, I think, 5 out of bed, and I worked out, made breakfast, and then I started my session to kick it off. And it didn't stop for me until 5, and I was still amped. I was just riding that wave all day. It was pretty awesome.
Good for you. It's exciting.
Thank you.
I love when our guests are like, you know, they're living their passion. That's
what
it is. You're excited. Well, you don't have to do something. You get to do something, and that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's the truth.
Goodness. So I know that a lot of people say like, hey, I'm going to do something online and I want to start this. What made you different than all the other companies that start out with that same idea? And most companies fail. So what is it? what was your secret sauce that you could say?
It is, if I had to call it one thing, right now it has a term in my mind. I call it the YouTube mentality.
Okay.
Back in the day, it might be called a very positive mindset, that you want to go out and learn different pieces of it. As I mentioned when I mentioned that I worked for Nesta, how I honed all these different skills. I think that is very important to being a business owner these days, that if you are owning your own business, running your own business, if you don't have a tool belt full of skills, I really don't know what to say other than good luck, because this running a business these days, it doesn't matter if it's in fitness or not. Good luck. Like, it is hard. If you are not willing to put those hours in, learn new skills, I can't tell you how many times I have done things completely out of my background. My background's in exercise science, and yet I'm building websites, I'm editing videos, I'm filming videos, I'm doing things that they're nowhere in any type of educational program. But you have to be able to do those things in 2025, moving forward especially. And I think that that part of it, that's my secret sauce, is I'm willing to learn those things that'll save me thousands of dollars. I know that one of the things, just to, because I know that Christina's mentioned to me about it with her company, with the ability to do great SEO. That's something that I've commended her for with her company. They do a great job. Just me commending them and looking and seeing what they're doing. That's something that I do myself, and that's could be a big expense, but it's very crucial moving forward, is to have that digital footprint, to be able to be searchable moving forward. And so that would be a tip for listeners, is what is my digital footprint? What are you even talking about, Tyler? You're making these things up. But think about how people could find you moving forward, review platforms, social media. And if you're wondering, okay, nobody can find me, well, go through those steps to figure it out. And you'll learn a lot in that process.
I keep thinking about going back to learning things, right? And you said like the tool belt.
Yeah.
I think of like going back to my childhood, right? The things, all the different things that you do as a child. Like I remember like pretending to, you know, making up dance routines and presenting them to my parents, who were like, oh my gosh, at the time, probably, you know, now that I'm a parent, they were probably, you know, now I'm like, oh my God. But like making people watch me and be like, hey, hey, you know, and all these different things I think of are coming back. Like everything that you were really interested in as a child, yeah. But now having to relearn things. And like I said, the amount of filming in front of a screen and presenting, and I think of like the theater classes I took for fun in college, where I'm like, oh wow, here we go again,
full circle.
Or, yep.
You know, the business, yep. And the English and the presenting and the, it's like, okay, well, yeah, you could just, you know, maybe you went to school for one thing or not, but you still had, you still have like a million different jobs, and have you traveled, and do you speak to people, and do you show up, and do you, but like on and on. You know, I'm, like I said, I've left my second, I made it career teaching, and I, one of the, hey man, you know, I'm like writing my book, or, you know, we're podcasting, I'm working on all these other things, but then I'm also like working in a gym where they're like, oh, and by the way, you need to scrub the treadmills and also clean the toilet bowls. And I'm like, I'm sorry, come again. Like what?
Right.
But it's very humbling to then, you know, go back and, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your background, your education, the letters behind your name. Are you willing to do what it takes to be at the top? Like that I thought was, I learned a lot from going from, I don't have to worry about money and paychecks, to like, so I haven't had my nails done in like a year and a half. And
I also say like, it's good that you are, you know, are willing to learn and you have the ability to learn, which is a fantastic thing. But also learning when to delegate is also a very, very
important
thing. Yeah. Strengths and weaknesses, right? We wouldn't bring clients into the gym and have them do a force feed them a bunch of stuff that they're really not good at. And I've learned to use some things, and sometimes that delegation now is even AI. I use it all the time, right? Like if we can use it, to make our lives easier, I think that that's a pretty good thing. So
100%.
Yeah. How about that? What are some of the things that you look at and you're like, hey, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to delegate that.
I will say I don't do coding. I know that that's a more technical one.
What's that?
I just got like, anxiety when you said the word coding, if that means anything.
You mean like
coding classes when I was younger? I'm like, where's the hot guy in class that codes?
There's different types of coding, but I just will not touch some of it. Just because I know it'll just crash a whole website.
Sure.
And thankfully, I've met some people that are just so much smarter than me in that area.
They're just, that's just their strength.
That's their strength.
Tyler, you have your own strengths.
That's right.
That is, I will tell you, that is the scariest thing to me when a coder will pull up this foreign language And you're just like, how is that the website? How is that the server? Like, where did you make this up? Is this fictitious? Are you really pulling something on over? Like, how did you just do that? They just are really gifted people.
Aliens. Aliens. You can say that. Yeah. They're aliens.
They might be, because my brain, when I was born without that piece of brain matter. Whatever that is, I don't have it. But they don't have what I got, so that's fine. That's right. Totally fine.
I will say something when you were mentioning about when you're kids and you're being creative. I think that is what I've been kind of harping on these things, thinking about them. And how do you make someone potentially like me? And I'm not saying I'm just like a one in a million type of person, but when I hear stories about kids that they start their own YouTube channel and all of a sudden they are filming, they're learning these different skills at a young age. I just think they're the coolest stories. I'm like, what? Awesome. Like, I know that technology and screens, this is a big topic with raising children and kids. And I'm not saying go throw your kids in front of a screen, but the harnessing those skills, I think that there's something in that, because that is how you get somebody like me. I did that stuff when I was a kid. I would, on like my Windows computer, my Dell, I would be pulling up the most rickety editing software and trying to slice clips together with different songs and making videos with my friends. And I did personal training, or the fitness industry was nowhere even in my mind.
Right.
But harnessing some of those skills, I think that there's something in there for the future, because a lot of stuff is online. And if you can bring in another skill set with your job, I think that you have some magic sauce there.
I had an English teacher tell me, learn how to tell a story. Storytelling is something that, you know, and I lean on it to this day. And, you know, if there's something that I can be good at, then it's just, you know, it's a great thing. And those skill sets, everything goes back. There's some basics that if we learn them and stick with them, everything will be working out all right.
Well, he was making clips and whatnot. Like, we were playing Donkey Kong and Frogger, which actually helped us.
I tried to set my kids up with YouTube channels. My middle guy was like a sports enthusiast, like through and through. He's a wild, like his brain just is a little different. And he would open up sports cards, and I'm like, his enthusiasm was sincere. You know, he'd open up a guy, get the card, and it was like, look. And I said, all right, let's set it up. And I have the studio, I got the cameras, I got all the microphones, I got everything. And I do it, and you know, it was like we started opening him up, and he turned into such like a phony baloney.
Oh, no.
He was just like, like he was acting. I'm like, you don't have to act. You already got it, kid. Like, just be authentic. Yeah. And I was like, all right, this isn't going to work. Yeah, this isn't going to work. And he, you know, was like, my hair looks like garbage. Why are you putting, you know, I was like, all right. Dylan, yeah. But he still has enthusiasm for other things, right? He just got a little camera funky. That's all.
We got to touch back on the storytelling one, or what you mentioned about storytelling, because that is like something that I am jealous of with people. Like I had, you guys probably maybe had him on, Anthony Wall from Ace.
I don't know him.
He's one of those individuals that can talk in like metaphors. Like, you know, those people that are just so good with metaphors. And like, whenever I have him, I'm like, how do you do that? Like I mess up metaphors all the time. Like I'll be like, I'll ask my wife, like, what is that metaphor about this and that? And she'll be like,
I was an English teacher, Tyler. I gotcha. You just call me up whenever you need one.
I wish, like in this podcast, there's so many points where like I could have started it with a metaphor, and there's what made this sound so much better. But I just, I get something just to work on.
Yeah,
being able to talk in metaphors.
Yeah, sometimes it's like you're hitting your head against the wall, right?
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know. Metaphors.
So that was a simile. Like her ass. That's fine. Right. Totally fine.
All right. Same thing. All right.
Let's stir the pot.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's do this. Because we talked about this. This is a big hot topic out there, everybody. Listen. So, Kips, you've got, you know, you have your PhD, right?
I'm a PhD candidate.
Yes.
So I've not finished my dissertation.
So, he will be a PhD. Okay, there you go. This is what we do. So education's pretty important. right?
Like, yeah, very important.
And also education that is, you know, let's say backed by, you know, some sort of science, research, right? And, you know, that's kind of important. So you have a, you have KIPPS and you do get your courses, you know, you do work with other companies and get them accredited, as do I, and it's a super fun process. Stop there for a second.
Especially
it's
once
really
you,
easy.
Once you leave the boundaries of the United States, it's even easier,
and it's,
right?
Right, even easier if you want to go apply somewhere else or talk to them. This is an issue I think that all of us have run into, whether, yeah, you know, Brian, you were you got really into this with a certain company you were working with, and what are your thoughts on all of this? Like, what matters? What's good education? What isn't? Who can you trust? Because I just had a conversation with someone who, for 20 minutes, told me about all their, how great they, this was on Monday, last Monday, how great they were and all their accolades and all their certifications and beep, bop, 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 bop. And I'm like, okay, well, this is who I am and this is what I believe in. And here's my background and my experience in education. And I know you know nothing about me, but I'm not here to just say, hey, I'm going to give me all your money and I'll get you 4,000 million followers on your whatever. And I know that it's hard because there are those of us that are out there that genuinely want to help people. And we've been, you know, we're fighting this battle of, I call it the social influencers in their bikinis telling you what to do versus those of us that are like, hey, hi, like over here.
That's a different kind of storytelling.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm throwing the basketball up for you to do what you want with it right now.
Okay. Well, I will say that I'm not just pulling this out of nowhere with accreditation within the fitness industry. I have done three different accreditation applications. One, I've done a recertification for national accreditation for a personal training education company. And I've literally been in the weeds for it. I've had to pull it together every single question in their applications. And when I talk about accreditation, there is essentially one organization that a lot of fitness education companies will subscribe to and utilize for it. It's a very expensive process. That one is NCCA. And I will throw it as a myth out there because I recently wrote a blog about this, about how individuals will often think that it is the program that is accredited by this national agency, but it is the exam. The NCCA looks at the process in which you develop an exam, the individuals that write the questions, their credentials, all based off a job task analysis, which will basically say, here are the minimum requirements in order to become a certified personal trainer. So this is a big topic for those that do not believe in accreditation for personal training certifications, because with everything I said there, it has nothing to do with the program, the education, the chapters. In theory, they should blend together. If you were to ask somebody from an accreditation agency, the one that I'm talking about, and I'm not trying to say they're bad people at all. I've made great connections when I did work for bigger companies, but that is the big pushback for it, is that they don't look at all the manuals that you purchase as a personal trainer, your online lectures that you purchase, your study guides. They don't look at any of those materials, just the exam. Which is kind of crazy when I say it out loud. You're like, wait, what? I just paid $1,000 for this program. And you're saying that this is not what's being credited. It is the exam. So with that being said, I do know that years ago, and I've only said this in one other podcast before, so kind of a special thing. Second time saying this out loud. I remember I was told this early on in my career, when I was on the fitness education side, how essentially the big agencies, the big dogs, they got together at one of the conferences and said, here is the accreditation that we are going to follow. And they kind of used it as a tool to push out the smaller ones, individual, the organizations that did not have the ability to purchase this accreditation. And so that being said, it's opened up over the last few years. I've got to make this positive now. I can't just throw all this out there and it'd be all negative. So over the last few years, more gyms have started to accept non-accredited personal training certifications. That is where I lie with KIPPS. I do not have an accredited personal training certification exam. And I think partly it has to do with that as an industry, we're starting to realize the importance of more soft skills, of learning how to develop relationships in those beginning few first months as a new personal trainer. Yes, education is great. And don't get me wrong, please take more education as you enter the industry. Please seek out ways to build your business, how to make better programs. But in those first few months, entering the industry, getting into a great program that's going to onboard you and teach you these skills to sit in front of somebody, be an active listener, and be able to empathize with that person in front of you, those are so much more important than whatever initials are after your name. I think anybody listening, they probably have at the bare minimum CPT. I mean, we all have longer initials after our name, but I will tell you none of that matters. Literally none of it matters because you need to connect with that person across from you. And I think that has led to this shift over the last few years within our industry. And I personally think it's good. I'm not saying that just because I don't have an accredited certification. I just think that when I hear about the high turnover rate in our industry with personal trainers not being able to make a living wage and then even having to leave, that a high percentage of personal trainers leave within a year, that years of how it is, it's not working. We need to be able to give them more skills early on and hopefully decrease that number and make a path for new instructors to be able to stay, because it is a great industry if you can make it past that first year. And if you can, you probably figured some of that out really quickly, because it hits you hard when you're waking up super early, you're staying super late, and all of a sudden you're looking like, this is my paycheck after a few months. I didn't make anything, because you're doing so much for either bare minimum or free to try to get these clients and build that client list. So I think I don't have any answers. I just think that we got to try something new.
There's two things that come to me with this. Is number one, also you have to say you're saying, all right, well, my certifications aren't accredited, but you're saying that that's by saying that though, you're saying, oh, well, because this is the end all be all, it has to be through these companies or nothing at all. And we forget that. I do think it's important though, that you or other people that are creating these have the education and the experience and the background to put something together that is backed by science, that you're not making things up. Like, that's really important to mention as well, because I do believe that there are, you know, soft skills. And I actually will tell you this. This is fun fact coming forward. Dan Isaacson. Dan, oh my gosh. Dan, do you know him? Celebrity, ex-celebrity trainer, was, you know, with Jack LaLanne was like his, you know, friend and whatnot. So he was talking about how when he first started as a personal trainer, there was no education. There was no anything. And he said everything he did, he had to learn on his own. And he studied the muscles and studied, and he wound up creating all these things. Okay, well, if we want this bicep to be more this, we've got to do this. You know, we're going to lift this weight because it's going to affect this muscle. And he said, you know, we need to go back to basics sometimes. Because we're getting, like you, to your point, we're getting so caught up with, it's got to be accredited here and it has to be this initial and no one will talk to me unless I have my, you know, PhD in exercise science, kinesiology, and all the other things but then I would have missed all the other experience and all of everything else that I did because I was focusing on that. And he said, he said, what we need to do is give people the tool to be their own personal trainer. Yeah. And I thought that was really awesome. And yeah. You can't steal this because, yes, we will share this, Tyler, okay, because I love you. Mm-hmm. But we will put, you know, so he's like, Christine, we really need to do some little continuing ed like that. You know, where is this for the person who wants to just be healthier and they don't want to be a personal trainer, or a personal trainer wants to give someone the tools that they could do it themselves. I thought that was really interesting.
From there, where do you start? You know,
yeah,
it's like you're reading headlines at the checkout market saying, oh, this is what I have to do. You know, men's health is like the worst. It's like, oh my God, if you listen to every single thing in there, you're going to sput around and you're back standing right where you are and you just quit. But I do agree with you. I think that there's a level to it where good information is good information. Education can be put together and packaged in a way that is quality, yeah, whether or not you have that accreditation behind it. You know, yeah. I think that look, our industry is a free for all. It's a free for all, right? And I think that the point of accreditation is to kind of govern it, I guess, in a sense. But really, mm-hmm, what are we doing? It's a money grab. Everybody's just making money off of it, right? And even continuing education from the big accredited, you know, governing outfits, the companies, I guess we'll call them companies, they're for-profit companies. Continuing education is a racket.
But they're
right?
not, yeah. And they're not looking, as you said before, they're not looking. They don't sit and go through, yeah, all the courses.
No. No, 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 no. They want, and they want the repeat.
Okay.
They need you to do continuing
education.
They need
us like we need them at this point.
Right. You do continuing education because you need to renew with them. Renewing is a source of income for them.
We do the work.
Right. And then the continuing education is a requirement of that renewal. None of it matters. I'm going to take I said this on the podcast 1,000 times. Most trainers are going to be like, I need to get this over with. I want it the cheapest. I want the stuff I already know that I can breeze through the quiz at the end, get all my freaking yep credits and get the hell out. And, you know, they're not really expanding their knowledge, right? In college, you know, in academia, they make you take things you don't want to take on purpose so that you mm-hmm can like get out of your comfort level and learn maybe something that is just kind of like off your plate a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. A girl could dream that everyone takes everything in, you know. Oh, my goodness.
That's a tough one. I think it always reminds me of like almost how I've been looking at things over the last few months. A gym owner, and I've heard this from other people as well in the industry, they start to complain about, oh, trainers these days, they just want to watch stuff on TikTok. They just want to watch YouTube videos. They're telling you. They're literally telling you what they want. Like, why aren't you listening? Like,
right,
this is what they want. And when I hear that, I'm like, okay, great. I make videos for YouTube on skill development, growing your business as a personal trainer. I like YouTube and for Fit Pros and that type of content. When I know that years ago, when I used to look at different organizations, education, like some of the big dogs out there, I'd be like, this is what you pay thousands of dollars for? This monotone voice over a PowerPoint slide that they probably paid tens of thousands of dollars for.
The worst.
This is the best.
Right.
Like, come on. Like, this is, I would fall asleep. I could put this on it at night and fall asleep to it. Like, this is, oh my goodness.
Right. And if we bundle it.
Since we're throwing up the jokes, I saw an ad recently about how become an elite new personal trainer.
Elite.
You are becoming a new, this is about, you're literally just entering the industry. Like,
right,
it is entry level education. Yeah. This is just to get your foot in there. Yeah. Like, you're going to be elite because you buy this $1,000 package here. Like,
you're going to be awful for the first couple of years like everyone is. That's yeah, really what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think back all the time. I did that as a young trainer. Come on, Tyler. Get out of here.
Well, exercise science wasn't what it was today. I don't know. I mean, I probably gave many people like knee replacements at this point. I like look back and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. But we were stepping at like 160 beats per minute with weights. Like, what? I was just following what the programs were telling me to do because that's, we were, I don't know. I thought they, whoever they were creating well, they it, were, I thought they were like.
Accredited?
I don't know. They were in shape. We just looked at them as like, you know, in hindsight, it's hysterical, but.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next
for
you?
Yeah, what's next? That's what we need. What's next?
Ooh, what's next?
Aside from some stuff with us, you know?
That is true. I have a short course that I need to develop and send over. I have a couple more short courses that I want to put out, and they're just smaller continue education courses in the 2 to 3 hour range. One of them being, last year I really got really jazzed about pool workouts. When I say pool workouts, it's HIIT-based workouts, like boot camp style stuff in the pool, on the deck, using my Viper Pro, using dumbbells, using a variety of aqua tools out there. And I was like, oh my goodness, like trainers, you got to get on this. I did a couple podcast episodes about it. And the story I always told was, I remember the first gym that I worked in, big gym, but like the hallway for people to get to the locker rooms. It was a long walkway, and at the end of it was this glass enclosure with the pool, and you'd see people doing laps in there. And I just think back to, if I knew this right now about aqua water aerobics, doing HIIT stuff on the pool deck, if I was doing that back then, oh my goodness, I feel like there'd be a line of people just wanting to be like, that trainer that's by the pool, like, how do I like get a session with him? Like, I want to do more. I want to buy a 10-pack, a 30-pack of sessions with that trainer right there. Because it's so much fun every time that I add this on to a workout, or that I just go in the pool and do a workout. I'm looking forward to the next thing. Cause again, I got all the tools out there. I got the Vipers, dumbbells, all that kind of stuff that I really want to put out some more education in that space. And then I'm working on what conferences I'm going to be going to this year. I just got asked about one of them over the weekend. And, other than that, it's just trying to continue to put out great content.
Keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, it has been awesome to have you on with the two Fit Crazies. You are now an official Fit Crazy alum. Ooh. And
we did get crazy on this.
Yeah.
Love it. Always stirring the pot. Listen,
we stirred it.
Not here to be average.
Here to take over.
Okay. Not here to be average. Here to be awesome. So, Tyler, do us a favor. Give us all of your social handles. Where do we go to take a look at Kips Online? Go.
Yeah. Kips, you can go to, if you want to get more information about Kips and our education, it's Kips, K-I-P-S, online.org. The same username can be found on Instagram, Facebook. If you want to find me, it's _ Tyler Valencia, and then another _ after that on Instagram. And if you, maybe you want to check out the workouts that I do for my YouTube channel, it's Tyler Valencia Fitness, where I post different workouts with dumbbells, body weight for busy professionals.
Beautiful.
Woo! All right. We'll put that all in our show notes and get that out for everyone. Great. And that was awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, man. It's a lot of fun.
I really appreciate it.
Do it. And I'll see you in person at some point this year. So
yes.
Yay. All right, everybody. It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at.
Peace.